I want to take you to a couple of places in the Word and show you some things that's going to happen. Very interesting times we live in. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 15, 34 through 58 to start off with. 1 Corinthians 15, 34 through 58. We want to talk a little bit about preparation for the rapture and talk about it a little and see what we're supposed to be doing to be there. NLT. Let's use the NLT, the New Living Translation. Come to your senses and stop sinning. Oh my goodness, we've never heard that before, have we? The church, come to your senses and stop sinning. isn't that something? God's trying to get us ready for the rapture, and what's the first thing he tells us to do? Stop sinning. Come to your senses and stop sinning. For to your shame, I say that some of you don't even know God. I sat down and talked to people. Are you a Christian? Well, yeah. You go to church? No. You know? Well, what do you? If you do go to church, what kind do you go to? Well, you know, I go to a Baptist church. And how long have you been a Christian? Well, I think I got saved when I was 15. Well, why'd you get out of church? Oh, well, Mom and Dad made me go to church when I was at home, but when I got out, you know, I didn't need that stuff. You know? Are you sure you're saved? Well, I hope so. I'm telling you, if rapture's going to come, those people are going to be left. They ain't going to be here. I mean, they ain't going to be with us. They're going to be here. If I ask you, are you sinning the Word of God? What does the Word of God say for you to do as a born-again Christian to stop doing? Stop sinning. If you got any sin in your life, you're supposed to stop it. For to your shame, I say that some of you don't even know God. You know, I deal with people like this all the time, every day. I minister to people of all kinds that tell me that they're Christians. But yet, they're stealing in their business. They're cheating on their mate. They're lying to people. Does any of those attributes agree with God's Word? No. You're not supposed to do none of those things, are you, brother? Somebody, well, God's merciful. He'll forgive me. Well, he will if you'll ask him to ask him, if you ask him to forgive you and you turn from that wicked way. But you can't keep living like that. And that's what we think. I mean, I've seen people that were living together, and I talked to them about getting, you know, repenting of what they're doing and come together and get married. And they said, well, you know, that we can't do that for another 6 months or another 2 years or whatever because of our finances and all. We're not doing too well. And I tell you, you're never going to have a good financial situation until you start doing what God says. Well, you know, what are you going to do? You're sinning. You say you're a Christian. Both of you say you're Christians. You go to church. Well, every time we have sex, we just repent. You'd be amazed at the times I get those answers. And then they wonder why they come down sick. Or their children come down sick. And you know the thing that people miss about God? They think he's a loving God in heaven that would never judge his people. But we'll see different today as we read through the Scripture. But some of you may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of body will they have? Let's see what we said. 36 and 37. What a foolish question. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And what you put into the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a dry little seed of wheat or whatever it is you're planting. In verse 38 and 39. Then God gives it a new body, just the kind he wants. If you have a different kind of plant, a different kind of plant grows from each kind of seed. And just as there are different kinds of seeds and plants, so are also different kinds of flesh, whether human, animals, birds, or fish. Verse 40, 41. There are bodies in the heavens, and there are bodies on earth. The glory of the heavenly bodies is different from the bodies, the beauty of the earthly bodies. The sun has one kind of glory, while the moon and stars each have another kind, and even the stars differ from each other in their beauty and their brightness. And to think God made all of them. Okay, next one. 42 and 43. It is the same way for the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies, which die and decay, will be different when they are resurrected, for they will never die. Now, aren't you glad? You know, because I'm grateful to God for this wonderful temple that he's given me to live in while I've been here on this earth. I mean, this temple, it has really been a good device for me to live in. I've had so much fun in this temple. I mean, you know, I got two arms and hands that work. I got eyes that I can see. I got ears that I can hear. You know, I got legs that I can walk with. You know, I can climb. I can do all kinds of things. And, you know, I can run. I can play. And I've had this for almost 72 years. You know, I am so grateful for the wonderful temple that God has given me that works. Aren't you grateful for this temple? Everybody's not as fortunate as I am. I'm telling you, I am fortunate. I was fortunate by the fact that I was raised in a good Christian home. I wasn't raised under a curse, but I probably had some curses upon me. I know I did because I did some sins myself. I mean, things, I don't know how I opened the door to my athlete's foot that I got years ago, but I opened it, and Jesus used that to tell me that I, as a Christian, could have a demon. Whenever I'm asking everybody in the world out there, can I have a demon? And everybody, including doctors of theology, say, no, it's impossible for a Christian to have a demon. So I asked God, and God revealed to me one day when I'm reading the Word of God, when I'm studying Luke 13:11, about the woman had the spirit of infirmity for 18 years and could not raise herself up. He clearly spoke to me and said, I had one of those demons living in my body. When I said, Lord, I'm not sick or I'm not weak, what is it? He said, it's your athlete's foot. I said, Lord, athlete's foot's a demon? He said, yes, son, in my name you have authority over it. I cast that devil out of me that night, and I'd had athlete's foot for years and years of my life, and I never had it again since. Now, that taught me a great lesson about demons. I can have a demon living in my body. If I got anything wrong with me that I'm not doing what God says, I can have the evil within me, which is a spirit from hell, living in, and he got in because of sin. Now then, can I get rid of him? Yes, I can break the curse, cast him out, and I can get healed. And I've done that to many, many people since I've learned this. I've seen many children. That's why I teach what I teach. I don't want people to have demons. Now then, last week when we were up there in the North Country, there was about, I guess, 15 or 20 young people on the back, two or three rows, I think three rows, of young, most of them boys. Yeah, I guess they were all boys, yeah. But anyway, there's a whole bunch of them. And I said, you know, I don't know, and I would never do this to intimidate anybody, but I said, I'm just willing to bet, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that all those young men back there in those three rows on the back, I said, I bet there's not one single one of those young boys could come up here and tell me all 12 of the apostles. I said, now, there may be some of them back there that could come up here and tell me all 11 of the boys on a football team, how many yards they've run, how many touchdowns they've made, how many field goals they've kicked and all that kind of stuff, but they don't even know the name of the apostles. Isn't that shame? We don't know even the gospels. We don't even know who they are, you know, the men that wrote them, whether they were Jew or Gentiles. You know, we don't know. We don't know. I mean, that's what's wrong with us. We don't read the Word of God. I mean, the church, we should devour this wonderful book that God gave us, so that we know what belongs to us, so we can act on it, we can know what's coming, so we can learn how to walk in divine health. By doing that, that this body that I live in, this temple, God has so blessed me to this point, because you know there's a lot of men that's in their 70s, there's a lot of men that can't do what I can do. You know that? You know why I can do what I can do? Because I have put God first. I have read His Word. I have obeyed His Word. I've done what His Word said. And, hey, it doesn't make a difference who you are. God is no respecter of persons. You know that? He's no respecter of persons. He doesn't give me something He won't give you. Will He, Bill? He'll give you the same thing He gives me when you get it in faith, just like I did, right? Amen. He will. He will. Now then, he says here, our bodies now disappoint us, but when they are raised, they will be full of glory. Yeah, sometimes mine does disappoint me. You know, whenever I was, in fact, when I was hanging up in here on all these beams, welding all these things up on here and everything, there was times I would like to just said, okay, I just want to take a step or fly from this beam to that and back there, but I couldn't do that. My body, it wouldn't do that for me. And I knew it wouldn't do that for me. So, praise God that I had a great big high lift truck in here that with an 8 by 16 foot bed on it, that I could drive around on this concrete in here, and that truck will go up 16 or 17 feet in the air, so I had an 8 by 16 foot platform. I could walk all over the place up there and raise it right up in there, and it sure does spoil a guy when you're working in construction. It's nice to have all that stuff. Now, I just got to throw this in right here, how I got that truck. I used to work for a corporation that catered airplanes, And this truck, we had it, and of course those trucks cost a lot of money. And this truck had about 60 or 70,000 miles on it, and it was about 6 or 7 years old, and some guy that was driving it drove under a jetway and didn't realize that the jetway lacked about this much of, you know, being high enough, and he clipped the top of that box and bent that whole big stainless steel box on the back of that thing, and to put a new box on it was going to cost us back in those days about $12,000. Well, the company didn't want to spend the money on that old truck, so I just parked it out back. One day the general manager said, "You got to take that old box off of that thing. I don't want it sitting out there all mashed up like that." So I had the guys take it in the shop and cut the box off of it and just left the platform, just the deck. And it sat there for 2 or 3 more years, and then one day the company sold, and when it did, I was, of course, director of engineering, and I was going over the list with the executive VP, and we're going down through the list. He's asking me about trucks, and come to this one, and I said, "Well, this truck here had been sitting out here for 5 or 6 years, and we hadn't used it. It's got the box cut off of it." And I said, "You know, it had about 60 or 70,000 miles on it." And he said, "Well, they won't want that." I said, "Well, probably not. They can't use it." I said, "It would cost $12,000 then to put a box on it." And I said, "The truck, you know, is not worth near that much money." He said, I said, "What do you want me to do with it?" He said, "Junk it." "Junk it." I said, "What do you mean, junk it?" He said, "Take it down to the junkyard and sell it, weigh it out." I said, "Well, it wouldn't get $200 or $300 for it." He said, "I don't care. Just get rid of it. We don't need it." I said, "You know, I said, I'd like to have the truck." He said, "You would?" I said, "I'll give $500 for the truck myself." He said, "Send me a check for $500 and I'll send you the title." So I got a high lift truck with 65,000 miles on it that I've used for everything in the world the last 15 or 20 years. I still got that thing, and it cost me a whole sum of $500. You know, now, you talk about God blessing your socks off. Somebody else said, "Well, gee, what would I do with a high lift truck?" Probably nothing. But for me and what I do, if I hadn't had it in here, I couldn't have built this building in near this time, could we, Eldon? That truck is a wonderful thing. You know, we used it extensively on the building of this building. It's wonderful to have this stuff. God knows what you need. And if you're an engineer or whatever, you're going to build a building, He will give you a truck 20 years ago that you're going to use 20 years later to build a church with. Isn't that amazing? And He gave it to me for nearly nothing.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, "Always Be Enthusiastic About Jesus," or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.